Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Denver Snuffer welcomes people to join the Remnant Movement, but he makes an interesting claim. The Remnant Movement is not a church. How does that work? We'll find out more in our next conversation. You won't want to miss it. Check it out. So I do want to kind of go back to talk a little bit more about the Remnant Movement. Not to be confused, I should add, I previously had an interview with a guy named Jim Van Cannon. He was in the first presidency of the Remnant Church of Jesus Christ of the Saints. He's no longer part of that church. Interesting thing. They've actually split, and it was just kind of like Brigham and Sidney. Yeah. And he ended up more like Sidney and started his own church, the Everlasting Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter Days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
how about the true and living, real, authentic, mostest, correctest version of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Yes.
And I'm sure there's an acronym you can put together out of that that will spell something obscene, probably.
But anyway, so your movement is kind of the Remnant Movement. That's kind of the name. Do you have an official name for your church? Or,
no. There isn't a church. Except in the sense that the church was defined in the revelation given to Joseph Smith. The church that existed were people that repented, came into the Lord, and were baptized. That's it. That's the definition of a church. And that definition preceded the organization in April of 1830. There were at least three different congregations or fellowships of people that existed before the incorporation took place in April of 1830, and all of them were considered members of Christ's church, because the definition was just repent, come unto me, be baptized in my name for remission of your sins. And that, if you're going to say there's a church, that's it. I don't know of anyone that says you have to leave the LDS church to accept the work that God has got underway today. I have said a Catholic priest could come and be baptized for the remission of his sins, accept the restoration, and go on his way and retain his status as a Catholic and a priest if he chose to do so. Methodists can join. Latter-day Saints can join. There's nothing to be done except have someone that has authority to baptize you, and then the name of the person, because we're required to keep track of the names, has to be submitted to another volunteer who's keeping what's called the Recorder's Clearinghouse. Those names get given to him. At the end of a year, all of the names are alphabetized and they're put in for that calendar year, and they're entered by hand into a book. There's no electronic version. No one can hack it. No one can go online and get into it. There's only one handwritten copy. If you want to give it to them by mailing it in to them, the mailed-in copy will be recorded. The mailed document will be destroyed. At the end of the year, all the records are destroyed and they're entered after having been entered into the book. And the only thing that is done for is because the Lord requires that book be maintained in order to present it at the Second Coming as one of the things that we're accountable for keeping. We're accountable for keeping very few things, but that is one of them. And so repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, get your name recorded with the Recorder's Clearinghouse. That's it. Then you're part of it. And you can be a Mormon, Latter-day Saint, you can be a Jew, you can be whatever you want to be, but you have to accept the terms that the Lord has outlined in order to come aboard. And if you want to fellowship with others, there are informal gatherings of people that fellowship together. We're expected to pay tithe from surplus, not what's required to support you and your family, but of your excess, of your surplus, one-tenth is paid into the fellowship, and then the fellowship determines who among them has a need. And if someone among them has a need, then the tithe is used to help those who have health problems, medical bills, education problems, food, housing, transportation issues. They get spent inside the group to help and benefit those within the fellowship. It doesn't get gathered. There's no big slush fund. It gets used to help the poor. If there is an excess that ever accumulates in a fellowship, then ultimately we expect to build a temple, and the funds can be donated for that purpose. But tithes are not used to support a hierarchy. Your religion should require that you sacrifice. If you are going to practice it, you should practice it as a person of faith, sacrificing to do the will of the Lord. No one gets remunerated for anything they do. I gave a series of lectures. I had to personally pay to rent the facilities that I used in order to give a series of lectures. People organize conferences now voluntarily. They rent the venue and they publicize the thing, and they do all the work with volunteer efforts. And if there are any costs to be advanced, they advance them. If they ask me to help defray costs, I help. But no one's... I spent a lot of money of my own doing the things that I've done. No one's paid me anything for what it is I do.
So somebody can join your movement and they continue to go to the LDS Church?
Absolutely.
And
yeah. A number of them have. In fact, some interestingly situated people have.
Well, that's good to know. So, I'm just curious if there's anything else about... So you're going to try to build a temple? Do you have a location for that?
Or? Not yet.
But it'll be here in the Salt Lake Valley, I assume?
I assume not.
No?
Yeah, I assume not. I think there would be... the likelihood is there would be active interference, active opposition. Mm-hmm. In my view, the adversary cares about very little, but the one thing he intensely cares about is the establishment of something that reconnects heaven and earth in a way that fulfills prophecy and opens up the return of the Lord. Because the Lord's promises all have to be vindicated, and right now there isn't any possibility in all of the existing efforts, but we're hoping to make the effort to accomplish just that, at which point the adversary will feel threatened. And so I expect there will be some trouble and opposition in getting it done. And in this place in particular, why am I an excommunicated Mormon? I'm an excommunicated Mormon because they don't want people reading what I write. They don't want people listening to what I have to say. I'm not hostile. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of the correct story. I'm not picking a fight with anyone. If I'm threatening, it's not because I'm trying to overthrow anything. It's because I'm trying to understand correctly the sequence of events and the content of the restoration and the effort of the Lord to achieve an end goal that right now appears to have been compromised and hijacked into real estate development and hierarchical servitude. It doesn't make any sense to me. I was happy to pay tithing and give them my money. I was happy to go to their meetings. They didn't want me there because they didn't want people to read what I have to write. And they certainly, I'm sure, don't want this material becoming generally available, because it in the original iteration in Joseph Smith's day is markedly different than what we've got downtown in Salt Lake or in Independence, Missouri, or in Monongahela, Pennsylvania, or in wherever that group that left Boulder City, Colorado is now headquartered. They're all off the beaten track.
Would you consider yourself a kind of a unification movement where you're trying to unify Mormon groups?
We just had a conference in Boise. We invited everyone to come from all the various Latter-day Saint spoke Church of Christ's representative spoke, Church of Christ Temple Lot.
Community of Christ, is that what you meant?
Community of Christ, Church of Christ Temple Lot, the group of Latter-day Saints out of Monongahela sent a representative.
Bigger Tonight.
Yeah, we've had Restoration Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saint group. They split off Community of Christ. They split off because of their desire to emphasize the Book of Mormon, while the Community of Christ is de-emphasizing the Book of Mormon. I mean, anyone's welcome to come to the conferences. And unifying is unlikely because people don't really want to try and understand and live the restoration as it was promulgated in the revelations to Joseph in the Book of Mormon. They really just want a kind of social club atmosphere where they can come and be reassured that they belong to the one and only authentic, real church that will get you into heaven with a pass. And the superficiality of the Latter-day Saint curriculum right now is so vacuous that I wouldn't waste my time sitting through 2 hours of their meetings. I mean, they spare you that third hour now, but it's still vacuous, insubstantial. You can't sustain life with the content that they provide at this point. It's been a series of subtractions. It's the opposite of restoration, which is additive. It's deductive, continually deductive. And so, no, I don't view anything that I've done as being or holding the potential to be popular, to be unifying. I figure every single group gets offended when you talk about what the straight and narrow path may really look like and what it may really require of you. So, no, I don't expect to unify. I expect to be denounced by just about everyone. And the more they learn, the less they like what they're learning.
So is it a big movement in Boise then? Because it seems like you go there a lot. And I know there was a Boise Rescue a while ago.
There's a lot of activity that's taken place in Boise, but the majority of people are far and wide. I mean, I had a fireside week before last Sunday with a group in Europe that we did it online, but there were people from Scotland and England and Holland and Slovakia and various places around Europe. There are people all over. I'm corresponding actively with folks in Japan. We were supposed to have a conference in Japan when Japan shut down because of the Chinese flu problem that they have going on, and we couldn't get into the country for that conference. But it's now rescheduled to take place in October. There are people in South America. There are people in Canada. Mm-hmm. There are people in Alaska, Hawaii. There's a group in Africa. Some of these groups stay under the radar in part because they don't want to be disciplined or excommunicated or rescued, but they only need to submit their names to the recorder's clearinghouse. They don't need to stand up and say, hey, please notice me. You'll want to kick me out of your church too. Because if they find that fellowshipping in a existing congregation of Methodists or Latter-day Saints or Catholics is gratifying or satisfying to them, there's no reason for them, other than being baptized and submitting their name to the recorder's clearinghouse, there's no reason for them to become a renegade among another people they want to associate with. If asked, they're probably going to teach something that will be markedly different than what other congregations believe, but I doubt they'll be running around saying, you're all screwed up and you're practicing priestcraft and you're going to hell. I doubt, although maybe there's one or two people like that. But I wouldn't think so.
Are you aware, are there any efforts to root out, you probably don't like the term snufferites, but I know that term has been applied.
Yeah.
But people in active LDS congregations,
sure,
have been rooted out that say, hey, we like what Denver's doing, that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
There is kind of a underground movement to kind of like the polygamists. We go after the polygamists, after the snufferites.
Pretty much. Two former bishops I met with them last night, who were chased off precisely because they were reading and talking about material that I had written.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's silly, really. But if you're not going to teach anything, if you're not going to try and understand what went on in the Restoration, and someone says, I would like to try and comprehend exactly what went on in the Restoration, I'm willing to explore that, but you're willing to still stay a member of this institution, why would you care? I mean, you got to be awfully thin-skinned. You have to be extraordinarily insecure to say, if you think that way, you're so scary that I want you kicked out of our organization. Why does that scare you? Why does that alarm you? Why are you so thin-skinned? I mean, I take all kinds of foolish, practically obscene mischaracterizations made of me on the internet, and I don't react to any of them. Why do I care? I'm not what you think I am if you've envisioned this heretical monster gobbling up, the souls of men. If that's what you think, go ahead and think that, but it doesn't change the reality. Your foolishness never defines me. So if they think I'm foolish, why would my foolishness define them? Why aren't they live and let live?
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Denver Snuffer. In our final conversation, we'll talk about why Denver's book, Passing the Heavenly Gift, got him in trouble with LDS leaders.
But I think their view was Brigham Young looks bad. Territorial Utah looks bad.
Heber J. Grant looks bad.
Heber J. Grant looks awful.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents. And for just $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview without any interruption. If you'd like a paperback version of our transcripts, go to amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview. Also, if you'd like to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website, and I'll be able to send you a transcript as soon as they are completed, and click the subscribe button. You can also find our latest information on facebook.com/gospeltangents, as well as we're on Twitter @gospeltangents. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. The link is at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents, and you can subscribe there. Also, please give us a 5-star review. If you want to support all of the podcasts as part of the Dialogue Podcast Network, go to lyceum.fm, that's lyceum.fm, and do a search for Dialogue Podcast Network or Gospel Tangents, because, that's a pretty cool one, too. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.